This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We will call the South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee to order. As a courtesy to the witnesses, the audience, and the committee, either turn off your cell phone or put it on vibrate. Thank you. Secretary, please call the roll. We do have a quorum. The minutes have been put in your folder. I would entertain a motion on the minutes. Senator Klocek has moved to approve and Senator Schmidt has seconded. All in favor say aye. Opposed nay. Minutes are approved as printed. On behalf of the chair, I'd like to welcome everyone here, both on the audience here in the room and on the internet. We have new pages this next couple weeks. The other page I just sent on an errand, and I will ask you to come over to the phone and just bend down and tell us who you are and where you're from.
I'm Teresa Playhaven, and I'm from Aberdeen.
All right. Thank you for being with us. If you have any handouts, please give them to the pages, and they will distribute them to the members. Do we have any out-of-town people to testify on Senate Bill 151? Is there anyone that came from out of town on 151? If there isn't, the main proponent, Senator Adelstein, is tied up this morning, and so we are going to defer that until Wednesday of next week. And I think we'll also move around the testimony this morning and move the order, since we do have the people that are the proponents of Senate Bill 1133. So we will take that one first, and then we will follow up with House Bill 1023. So at this point, are there any proponents? The public testimony is now open on House Bill 1133. Are there any proponents of House Bill 1133? Senator Haverly, welcome this morning.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Transportation Committee, good morning. I am Senator Jeff Haverly. I serve District 35, which is in and around Rapid City area. Today I come before the Senate Transportation Committee as the prime sponsor of House Bill 1133, which is a bill to allow specialty plates to be placed on motorcycles. Many of you do remember that we allowed this on vehicles a few years back. We in the motorcycle world feel that this is a fairness issue that has a relatively simple fix to it, and I hope after you listen to the bill hearing that you will feel this way as well. I want to thank the committee for taking the time to hear this issue pertaining to license plates. With that, we do have, I know Diana, she is not here, but we do have another gentleman from out of town that will testify and answer any of your questions, as I will also, as they pertain to this issue. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and defer the chair to somebody else here.
Thank you, Senator. Also, I forgot to mention, if you are going to testify, please sign in at the podium as you come in the door. And if you are testifying for a group, you need to have a badge, and if otherwise, anyone can testify for themselves. Thank you. Tell who you are, and you may start.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Nielsen. I am testifying for myself. My lobbyist, Diana Miller, is tied up in committee on the other side of the building, and I guess we will just wing it from this point in time. As the bill was introduced, 1133 would allow us to put organization plates on motorcycles, just as they are currently on several passenger vehicles. I brought an example, which I guess could be passed around. The example illustrates the one problem that would have to be dealt with by the Department of Licensing, that being size. Since motorcycle plates are smaller, we have a proposed decal here, which is our logo, and the larger decal would be the one that would go on an automotive plate. The smaller one would be the one that would go on a motorcycle plate. Other organizations that have expressed interest are Patriot Guard Riders. The Shriners might be interested in doing it. any C3 group is eligible for this, just as all the other organization plate statutes. And I guess I would probably stand by for questions rather than to consume much more of the committee's time, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions at this point in time? Other proponents of Senate Bill 1133.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. We have worked with the industry, and I'm happy to say we've come up with a plate that they'll be able to actually apply the decal to. We were concerned about size and space, but I think it has worked out okay. So it just gives you an idea of what the plate may look like. These decals, you can't just put any type of decal on the plate. It has to be one that's approved by the department. So we do have to, they have to go through a process. They can either have it made commercially, or we can have Prison Industries make the decals for them. But they do have to go through an approval process. So there is some controls to it. It is a widely used, the organizational plates are widely used throughout the state. So, okay. I'd be happy to answer any questions when appropriate.
Are there any questions at this point for Director Hilmer? Any other questions? Further proponents of Senate Bill 1133? Further proponents? I do have a question of Mr. Nelson. And Mr. Nelson, I don't know if anyone else had thought of it or just didn't want to ask it, but do you see any problem here with other organizations that kind of incite some things, let's say at a rally where, let's say, the Hells Angels wants theirs, and so you create kind of a problem there? Do you see any of this developing, or do you know of any other states where this has been, if that's any kind of a problem?
Well, Abate itself maintains a neutral stance with any of those organizations within our own community. You have to be a registered C3 nonprofit to be able to get the decal, and of course the Department of Licensing also has to approve it. So I will not say it's impossible for there to be a Hell's Angel license plate, but I consider it unlikely. Would someone take offense to the vehicle? There are various other insignias that float around that could be on your license plate or on your vest or on your gas tank. I don't think that'll change that problem in any way.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Are there other proponents of Senate Bill 1133?
Morning, Chairman Valley, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. I'm Diana Miller, and I'm the registered lobbyist for Abate, and I apologize. I'm running in two committees in House Education this morning, so I wanted to be here right away, but I apologize to the committee. I think, first of all, I'm very appreciative of the committee looking at this particular bill. Abate for a long time has wanted to have the same opportunity that other vehicles and people have when we open the door to organizational plates. And I don't know that, I think Ms. Hilmer showed you the plate and the decal, and it's kind of neat. And I have a decal, too, that you can look at some point. But it's very simple. This is revenue neutral. We're not asking for more money. We'll bear the costs of this. And simply what it does is if you have to surrender the current plates and pay a $10 fee if you don't already have specialty plates. So we're willing to bear our share of the cost here, Chairman Valley and members of the committee, and we would ask that you approve the opportunity, as you have for universities and other organizations, to have a specialty plate. And, Mr. Chairman, I thank you very much for the opportunity and would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Please remember to sign in.
I did, sir.
Are there further proponents of House Bill 1133? Further proponents of House Bill 1133? If there are no proponents, are there any opponents of House Bill 1133? Are there any opponents of House Bill 1133? Seeing none, we do not need a rebuttal. I will ask the committee one more time, since we have some time this morning, if there are any other questions. If there are no other questions, we will close the committee to public testimony and then open it up for discussion and action on House Bill 1133. Senator Frisley. The move by Senator Frisley do pass. Is there a second? Senator Maher is seconding. So we have a do pass motion by Senator Frisley and a second by Senator Maher. Any discussion on that motion? If there is no discussion, the secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Senators Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Howey? Klocek?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Sally?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, Dr. Chairman. Okay. House Bill 1133 has passed 6-0 unanimously.
Can I make a motion to move to consent?
You may move to consent. Seconded by Senator Klocek. All those in favor of moving House Bill 1133 to the consent calendar, say aye. Those opposed, nay. House Bill 1133 will move to the House floor on the consent calendar. Thank you, and thank everyone for testifying this morning. The next bill we're going to take is House Bill 1023. Public testimony is now open on House Bill 1023.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. I'm Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. I'm here this morning to ask your approval of House Bill 1023 to close what we believe to be a gap in the Department of Transportation's ability to safely move traffic through highway work areas. Excuse me. In 1981, this body enacted a statute 322519.1, which gave the Department of Transportation Secretary, after consultation with the what would now be the Secretary of the Department of Public Safety, the Director of Highway Patrol, and the former Director of the Division of Highways, to establish limited speed zones in areas of construction or reconstruction occurring on the state trunk system. The law provided that that would be done by posting those limited speed zone signs on either side of the construction or reconstruction area. That statute was subsequently amended twice in 1995. The First Amendment, Session Law 1995, Chapter 184, did two things. It amended the language to say to apply to highway work areas rather than construction or reconstruction, and that accommodated maintenance activities out on the highways. The second thing it did was to eliminate the Director of the Division of Highways from those whose consultation was needed to establish a limited speed zone. And that was a result of executive reorganization of the Department of Transportation. The position of the Director of Highways was eliminated. The second amendment in 1995 has created what we believe to be the problem here. That was Session Law of 95, Chapter 185. It also amended that statute to require that those signs be posted at the beginning and end of the immediate work area and, significantly, that the signs could only be posted during the hours when work was actually being performed. A probably unintended effect of that statute, as now amended, was to exclude authority from the department to establish a limited speed zone in certain areas of highway construction where traffic safety absolutely demands a lower speed limit. Commonly, there is a need to have traffic moving at a reduced speed through or around construction areas, and to maintain that traffic at a lower speed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until that newly constructed section of highway can be reopened. The clearest example I can give you folks is on the interstate system. Commonly, when we're reconstructing lanes of the interstate, obviously we need to close down, for example, the westbound lane, say, and route traffic head-to-head on the eastbound lanes. We need to slow that head-to-head traffic down below 75 miles an hour for obvious safety reasons until those reconstructed lanes can be reopened. And we have been doing that by posting those limited speed zone signs. However, under that statute as amended, we have no legal authority under 3225.19.1 to do that 24/7, because at night and on some weekend and holiday days, work is not actually being performed there. And under the wording of the statute, that is a condition of establishing a limited speed zone in highway work areas. That is, only during the hours work is actually being performed. There's also a question of whether a detour route around construction would be considered in the immediate work area. Yet the safety need to reduce speeds on those head-to-head situations and some detour routes is undeniable. The only other way to create a limited speed zone under existing law is through enactment of an administrative rule. Unfortunately, the process for enacting an administrative rule takes 2 to 3 months, and then another 2 to 3 months, when it's no longer necessary, would be needed to repeal that administrative rule. So it's neither practical nor timely in the context of a highway construction project. This bill, House Bill 1023, would create a new subsection under Chapter 3225, which is speed regulation, that would allow the Department of Transportation Secretary to establish a limited speed zone by posting on a section of highway if the work being performed necessitated maintaining head-to-head traffic through or around the construction area. The Secretary of the Department of Public Safety and the Director of the Highway Patrol would have to agree that the limited speed zone was necessary for safety. And the duration of that limited speed zone would be the period of time during which the highway work being performed necessitated that traffic control measure be in place. With that, Mr. Chairman, we would request this committee's favorable consideration, and I would stand by for any questions that any of the committee members may have. Thank you.
Are there any questions at this point for Mr. Nevin? Senator Schmidt.
Is there going to be any something that says you can't have speed signs out and cones for miles and miles like they do in another state that I travel in? Is there thought given there to that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Schmidt, I believe that is covered under the existing law, that wouldn't be changed. This would add a new section specifically for the situation we're talking about.
Senator Klocek.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I have a question for Bill. Traveling the interstate system in the summer and throughout the year, after the hours they're working on it, those signs seem to consistently stay up, even when they're not working on them. Is that your intent, or even when there's two-lane traffic or double lanes, one-direction traffic, and it does go on for miles, is Senator Schmidt said other states, it's happened here in South Dakota. What, if anything, are you doing to correct that? Is there something we can do to, you know, because I've traveled early in the morning, late at night, and that sucker is just, they're there all the time, and you go 40 miles an hour for 6, 7, 8 miles, which is fine if that's what you really want. But is that what you really want, or what provisions are there that when there's nothing going on that that speed zone sign comes down?
Mr. Chairman.
Or what guarantee?
Senator Klocek, so that I understand your question, are you describing a situation where the traffic lanes are not being worked on and yet there remain limited speed zone signs there.
Right.
I don't believe that situation should be occurring under the existing law. I'm not personally aware of it.
What can we do? What can the DOT do to prevent that from happening? Is there,
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I would suggest contacting the area engineer of DOT. DOT is statewide divided into four regions. Each of those four regions has three area offices underneath it. I would suggest contacting the area engineer in the area where that work is actually being performed to get clarification of why that's there if those signs are still up and work is not being performed on those lanes.
I'll follow up, Mr. Chairman, just real briefly. Mr. Niven, like at 10 at night and 6 in the morning when I travel those roads, would that be okay? If he's not in, could I call you?
That would be fine.
Further questions of Mr. Niven? Senator Frisley.
Just a question as to the fine. Does that stay the same in your mind? Is that sufficient for the speed for the fine in a construction zone?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Frisley, very good question. Under the statute that we're asking you to enact today, the fine for a violation would be the same for any other speeding violation. Under the existing statute that posts the immediate work area during the hours work is actually being performed, the law provides that the fines in those situations are doubled. That double fine, however, is not going to apply to this statute that we're asking you to enact as it exists now. Whether or not that would enhance enforcement of that speed limit, perhaps someone in law enforcement could better address than I.
Further questions of Mr. Niven? Mr. Niven, I do have a couple questions, and I want to make sure I understand this. And maybe I missed it in your testimony, but do the signs need to come down when they are not working on these in these situations when there is not work out there? Is that correct?
Under the statute as it exists today in the immediate work area, those signs shall only be posted according to the statute during the hours work is actually being performed. So technically, Mr. Chairman, I suspect the answer to your question is yes.
And how does this change that?
What this does is allows us in the situation where no traffic is going through that immediate work area, but rather around it or routed head-to-head on the opposite lanes, that's where we want to now be able to regulate a lower speed 24/7. And we believe the language of this bill does that.
If there is no active working there, but the signs are still up, and kind of in the same sense that Senator Klocek was discussing, are you still liable for obeying that speed limit at that point?
Mr. Chairman, there may very well be a question of whether it is enforceable, the established lower speed limit, whether that is enforceable during hours when work isn't being performed. The way the statute is written right now, I suspect the answer to that question may be no.
Thank you. Further questions of Mr. Niven? Further proponents of House Bill 1023.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Pat Fay with the Department of Public Safety. I'll try to stay a little brief here, but what I have to say is maybe short, but very, very important. The public safety is very much in support of this bill. In the past 3 years, we have had 703 work zone crashes in the state. Of those 703 crashes, 330 resulted in injury and 5 were fatalities. This is very important that we get this to try to slow the speed down in these areas where currently we don't have the legal authority to post and reduce the the speed in those head-to-head zones. Your question about the work zones, it has to be signs posted when people are present and working. And in those areas where there's actually people present, statute provides for a double speed fine in those locations. This particular bill just allows the Department of Transportation to post that section of work where there is head-to-head traffic to keep the traffic speeds reduced. And it would be, as Mr. Nevin stated, it would be a normal fine as you would for any other speeding violation anywhere else on a particular highway. That's all I have, Mr. Chamberlain. I'll stand by for questions if you need so.
Senator Klocek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Fahey, just do a little scenario here. We're going down the interstate. It's after working hours. The signs are up. There's absolutely no activity going on. There's a whole string of traffic going through. They're all cruising along at 75, and you got it posted 65, and then, what, 40, 45, I think, in those areas, whatever. And all of a sudden, one of the people in the line sees that it's 45. He thinks he's got to go 45 or whatever, and they're all still going the speed limit or the posted limit, locks up the brakes, and the guy behind him punches into him and affects traffic, and there's a few more accidents. Is the state liable then, since they didn't take those signs down, or who's liable in a situation like that?
Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. Senator Klocek, I think that would probably be a question better asked of legal folks rather than to get my lay opinion on who would be liable in a particular incident like
well,
that.
Well, I did, and they said to ask you.
Well, I accept that acknowledgement, but I'm not qualified to answer that question.
That's all I think. Thank you.
Further questions of Mr. Fay? Other proponents of House Bill 1023. For the proponents of House Bill 1023, there are no further proponents. Are there any opponents of House Bill 1023? Opponents of House Bill 1023. If there are no opponents, we will not need rebuttal. We will now close testimony to public testimony, and we will open it up to committee discussion and or action. Been moved by Senator Hansen to do pass. Is there a second? And it's been moved by Senator Frisley. Senator Hansen's motion for do pass and seconded by Senator Frisley. Is there discussion?
I won't belabor the point, but in reality, this has been happening. And there's two facts to it. Sometimes they do work late, and they are working, trying to get that overtime, meeting some deadlines they have, the people in DOT, and those signs are up. Other times they're not, and the signs are still up. And it's been a dilemma. It's happened at least twice to me. Once where I locked up the brakes when I saw the signs and wondered what's going on, and of course it was traffic. And another time when someone else did it, almost plowed into the back of them. And other times I've gotten a lot of constituent calls where they're driving through this thing, truckers, tourists, constituents, and they're posted, and they're driving for miles and miles and miles and a posted thing, and there's actually nothing going on. So I don't know if the DOT needs to do that. What is the liability issue? I would sure not want to test that one in court, but I do think there'd be some liability issues there for the state if they don't do a better job with their signage. And with that, I'd sure vote for this, but I was thinking of a protest vote, but I think we'll give one to the Gipper. So.
Further discussion. Senator Schmidt.
I want to add this, that sometimes the conditions they leave after construction is done for the day, they leave those signs up, in my opinion, as I have looked at it. Sometimes the condition is a little less than safe. Sometimes the shoulder is cut away while they're doing repair work, and they have to leave those signs for our safety. Otherwise, we'd be whipping through there at 70 miles an hour and without a curb. You know, sometimes on the freeway, you're kind of looking at the scenery and kind of cruise over a little bit. So I always thought, well, I wish they wouldn't do that. But then when you look at the conditions, I thought it's smart that they do so. Maybe on second look, it's not just the construction day's ended, but maybe they've left machinery, or actually they try to get machinery quite a ways away. But just sometimes they have patchwork and stuff that really needs caution when we go whipping through there. So I always thought that's why they do that, and it's acceptable to me. So I am voting yes.
Senator Schmidt, other comments? Motion. If there's no further discussion, there's a motion on the floor for due pass by Senator Hansen with a second from Senator Frisley. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Howie? Klochek?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Six ayes, one not.
House Bill 1023 has received unanimous vote of six people. It will go to the floor as a do pass. Senator Frisley. It's been moved to move House Bill 1023 to the consent calendar. All those in favor? Or do we have a second on that?
Second
by Senator Hansen. All those in favor of sending it to the floor do pass on the consent calendar, say aye. Opposed, nay. House Bill 1023 will go to the floor with on the consent calendar as due pass. Senator Schmidt, would you, if this is a department bill, would you take that one to the to the Republican caucus and on the floor? And Senator Hansen, would you take it to your caucus? Thank you. Any other discussion here by the committee? Anything to come up? I want to say what we are going, what the plans are for the immediate future. Next Wednesday, I'm planning on having a gentleman from the Department of Transportation come and give us a discussion on the effects of the needs for counties, and we will do that on Wednesday. On Friday, we have four Senate bills left. Those have to do with funding measures for both the state and the county to take care of the needs that were identified in the task force this summer. We will take those concepts up in committee on Friday. We will not take action on them on Friday. We will save that until the following Wednesday. So I want the meeting on Friday to make sure everyone on these bills asks their questions. Feel free. I want to talk about the concepts of and why what the need is and why we need to fulfill it with these possible bills. And then we will take action the following Wednesday on those bills. I happen to be the proponent on those bills because we had to have somebody come out of the task force do that, and I ended up being that lucky person. And also I have two bills that are in that group. So at that point, I will, when we get to the discussion phase on those bills, I will obviously hand over the gavel to Senator Schmidt. And both on Friday and on Wednesday, more than Wednesday for sure, and probably on Friday. So if there are any questions on that, that's kind of the thought process I have until we get to crossover day. And then after that, we'll take up the remaining House bills. Also on Wednesday, we will try and take up the bill that Senator Adelstein has. He had a committee meeting and could not, and had a contentious bill there this morning and could not make it. And so I would prefer to defer that to Wednesday since there was not anyone from the outside. Unless someone has anyone come from outside to testify in Senator Adelstein's bill. If there are none, then that's what we'll do. We'll hear that on Wednesday, and probably accommodate him and take that first. If not, we'll take it at the end of the committee hearing. Any other thing for the committee? Senator Klochek.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the DOT for doing the road because of the bridge repair on Highway 18 there by Olivet. There's a big need down there, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator Klochek. If there is nothing else to come before the committee, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Senator Klocek has moved to adjourn, seconded by Senator Schmidt. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.